Hello, everybody, and welcome to The Thing I Love Most show with myself, Noel Valbon, and the thing we are, again, loving most after quite a fun victory yesterday is, of course, Tottenham Hotspur, is, of course, being yeared. It was a crazy, crazy game. And here to discuss that game, the Champions League draw, and also the Bayern Munich game last week are the fabulous team that I have alongside me, as always, Mr. Lee Curtin. Hello, Lee.
Hey there, mate. You all right?
Very well, thank you. Glad to have you back. I know you're a little bit ill this week. We have Kofi all the way from Liverpool. Hey, Kofi, you all right, mate?
I'm all right, mate. Not too bad.
Boss, mate. That's boss. And then all the way from NYC. I mean, we're just globetrotters on the show. We have Mr. Tim Leonard. Tim, how are we doing?
Doing well, Noel. How about you?
Yeah, not bad, thanks. Not bad. Dried out after yesterday. Walking back from the ground to the car was literally like a flood. And I checked the weather earlier on that day to see if I should wear like boots or trainers. It said it was going to be nice and sunny. So bopped on the trainers and then the heavens opened. But it was, you know, it was an enjoyable walk back to the car. It's about 25 minutes, but it was just everyone. Whereas we were walking through this little tunnel underneath like the bypass, we were obviously surrounded by Wolves fans and they were just all just like, how have we lost this? What's happened? I don't understand. Just don't understand. And I was like, just trying to not speak in my Cockney, you know, accent as I do my southern charms. But it was so funny because I actually agreed with them. To be fair, I thought we did get out of jail, and so I was just like, mate, I agree with you. It was a bit crazy. So we're going to cast our mind back before we talk about the Wolves game and the draw. We're going to talk about the Bayern Munich game. Obviously, as a spectacle, it wasn't really much to talk about, to be fair, because obviously it was a dead rubber. It was really nice to go out there as a group. There was quite a few fans out there that I knew, and that was nice to see. The one thing that I would comment on was the treatment of Eriksen by fans close to me was insane. I've never known anything like it. Like, there were two guys sat behind us. They were literally just basically shouting at him the whole time. When he wasn't on the ball, they were shouting him for getting on the ball. When he was on the ball and he misplaced a pass, it was like nothing I've ever experienced before. They weren't even concentrating on the rest of the game. They weren't doing the same to other players. Like, Skip came on and made a few bad challenges, and you know, there was nothing like that. They were basically just wanting him to put in a man in the match performance, run around like a madman, and score a hat trick. Even when he had the shot on target from the free kick, they didn't really care. Even when he put Son through twice in the second half, even when he was our only creative force in the second half, even when he was the only one who was really doing anything, getting hold of the ball and actually showing any quality, they didn't really even appreciate that or accept that or acknowledge that. But if he then misplaced a pass, or if he just pointed, or if he just didn't make a run towards a player, they were like, get out of our club, this and that, just like... I mean, it was madness. It was absolutely insane. And I just was baffled as to why anyone would want to travel all the way to Munich just to do that to a player. Like, you know, they just can't have been enjoying the game because they were so angry. And it's not like Eriksen ever used to be a tackler. He used to cover a lot of ground and he was still doing that. He was just doing it at a bit of a slow pace. But it was like, what are you expecting him to do? He obviously not got that passion and desire he used to have. I agree with them in the fact that I didn't think he should have played him. I find it a bit silly why he is playing him when you've got other players on the bench that are obviously much more committed to the club and, you know, potentially going to be with us for a lot longer. So but that's Mourinho's fault. That's Mourinho picking him. Don't shout at Mourinho about it. Like, do you know what I mean? It's not Eriksen's fault. Eriksen is going on there. And I thought he played all right. I didn't think he had a bad game. I thought in general we played quite poorly, but I didn't think he should have been picked out by anyone for being ridiculously poor. So let's talk firstly about the selection in the game. I was hoping that Troy Parrott was going to get minutes, to be fair. And I was quite disappointed that Son came on. I didn't really understand why he brought Son on, to be honest. You know, it was just like, why have Parrott there if you're not going to play him? It just seemed a bit strange. He did play Sessegnon though, which obviously was great, and he got a very, very good goal, and we've got a good song for him now, which is good. And I thought Lo Celso actually played well. Quite a lot of people didn't seem to think that I was speaking to, but I thought he did quite well. I thought he handled himself okay. Yeah, he gave away a few misplaced passes, but he's playing with a team that were like had the high press, that were better fitness, it seemed, and that in general were more on form. So, so Lee, I'll start with you. In terms of your in the setup, the lineup, were you pleased or satisfied to see a few newbies on there? And would you have liked to have also seen Parrott on there?
I was hoping to see Troy Parrott out there, but I would say, given all the coverage leading up to it, I feel like Bayern Munich proper soldiers down the river, mate. I feel like, oh yeah, we're going to roll out all of our youngsters. Oh, we'll roll out ours too. Yeah, we'll roll out some of our second string. They literally rolled out all of their top dogs. And I was like, this could be a long night. This could be a long night. So listen, I think first and foremost, I think the lads that started the game, I thought they held themselves particularly well. And I know people are going to go on about the result, but I think Mourinho knew what he was doing. He selected a team with a view to the Wolves game on Sunday, and that was his priority. So can't really knock him for that. But I've probably seen the same thing as you did, actually, Noel, because I thought Lo Celso played quite well, and he was involved in the goal as well. But he did come in for a bit of stick, actually. So. It was strange. I didn't really get it. I was quite happy with the rest of it. I looked around. I think my only disappointment was that maybe Parrott actually didn't start, and maybe Lucas would have been in for Eriksen. And I give our number 23 plenty of stick. But if there's people listening and watching. I probably would never go to a ground and do it, to be honest with you. I wouldn't want to stand there and absolutely hammer one of our players. I don't get that.
No, totally.
I don't, let alone going to another country and doing it. I don't understand that at all, to be honest with you. You've got to look at Mourinho. You've got to wonder, well, what you're still picking him for. But then we'll move on and go on to Sunday's game soon. And he makes a substitution, and I'm sitting there going, well, don't bring him on, don't bring this geezer on. What are you doing? It's 1-1. We'll probably take the point and leave, and we'll move on to that. So, look, I thought the team did all right. There was a few positives to take from it, and I thought Sessegnon took his goal really well. You can see the pace of the game caught up with him. So he's got a lot to learn in that position at this level. And it will go to, it kind of went to show that his time at Fulham, I know he spent half the season in and out of that team when they was in the Premier League, but it just kind of goes to show it's a completely different level of football that's required in terms of fitness and composure and decision making. But I thought they did well. I thought they held themselves well. And I wasn't disappointed with the lineup. I just more disappointed that Bayern Munich mugged us off the way they did.
So, Tim, were you... I mean, we're going to talk about Eric Dier. I mean, Eric Dier seems to be the theme of the show now. It's gone on for Morier, and for me, I just don't even want to talk about it. But for me, again, I didn't think he was particularly good against Bayern Munich. People said that he was played a lot better against Wolves. I didn't think he played that well against Wolves either, which we'll come on to. But if he is going to be captain, surely there has got to be something more that we're demanding from him. And I also felt that about Harry Kane on Sunday, actually. I didn't think he did very well as captain. I don't know what's up there, but it's just, it doesn't seem to have that same influence if he is skipper. And I don't know, he was getting caught up in it quite a lot on Sunday, I felt. But just moving back to Wednesday, did you think that we could have done more defensively? Because if you look at the goals that we conceded, like Dier standing off a little bit for the Coutinho one, the first one as well. We seem to just not get close enough to them in and around the box. I mean, obviously they're good players. They, you know, Gnabry is class. He looks really, really good every time he plays us. Were you sort of annoyed at that how it went, or were you sort of expectant of that considering the team we put out and the team that, as Lee alluded to, that they eventually put out?
Yeah, I think it was a combination of both. I had no expectations for this game because the game was essentially meaningless. So I think from a player standpoint, if you put them into a game like that and they know that no matter what the result, all right, Bayern Munich is finishing first, we're finishing second, we have the Champions League round of 16 draw on Monday, let's just get through this game, keep everybody healthy and move on. That it's hard to get up for a game like that, even though, yes, they did beat us 7-2 the last game. I'm sure there was some who had some revenge on their minds. But when we put out the team that we put out, where is the revenge going to come from? Their team was whatever it was. And like Lee said, we were expecting them to put out something less than what it was actually wound up on the field. So for what we put out and what they have put out, Mourinho said after the match, he learned some things about some guys, and that was a good thing. But no, I'm with you. I was incredibly disappointed that Parrott didn't even get a minute. It kind of boggled my mind. Why bring him all the way to Munich if he's not going to get off the bench?
No, totally. You know, and also, if you're going to make a substitution, then bring him on. Like, why bring on Son? So, like Lee said, we had a game on Sunday.
Yeah, the Son thing, I didn't understand at all. I was talking to some people when that happened, and it just made no sense to me. Why are you bringing this guy on? He's played a lot already. He ran 80-something yards to score a goal, a few days before that. Like, give the guy a rest. But I wondered in terms of just why some of the substitutions that were made. I thought bringing Skip on was a good idea. I really had no idea why he was bringing Wanyama on. It's just some of the substitutions were just very puzzling, and to leave a couple of the younger. I mean, I thought Tanganga might get on too. I mean, I kind of thought that was the purpose of bringing them and exposing them to a quality side like Bayern Munich in a game that meant absolutely nothing. It's the perfect chance to test those guys, and he blew it.
Yeah, I completely agree, and I think it would have been good to see all of those people play that you mentioned. So one person that we did see play was Kyle Walker-Peters, Kofi, and obviously we're big fans of him on the show. How do you think he performed overall?
I think he did well, and I think the guy is unlucky in some respects, because it's not until we play Barcelona that he gets put into the team, or we play Bayern Munich away that he gets a start. And their midfield were fantastic. As we know, they played the first team. They passed the ball really well. They got through us relatively well in midfield, and they had a lot of width. So it was always going to be tough for him. And he needed the midfielders in front of him to help him out. So tough game, but I think the guy did all right.
Lee, what do you think about Walker-Peters' performance?
We touched on it before, didn't we? I feel for him every time he kind of he gets called on. It's not against just your average opposition. I thought he started a bit slow, actually. I thought he got exposed. Quite a bit from the very get go. Kingsley Coman was running.
He's rapid as well, though, isn't he? He's quality.
And honestly, if you've played the game, I've said it before, if you've played the game and you're not up to match speed, you probably don't want Coman or Gnabry running at you in your first appearance for a couple of. You don't. No, nobody needs that in their footballing life. You don't want it. But I feel he grew into the game a little bit. I felt that the boys in front of him started to just cover a little bit better than they did. I mean, he had Sissoko and Dier in front of him, and I know he highlighted Dier, and I think Dier's just lacking game sharpness, match sharpness, and he gets heavily criticised for his movement. But I think they kind of learned to just shut down that space a little bit and just helped him out a little bit. But he grew into the game. It wasn't one of his better ones. It wasn't one of his better ones, to be honest with you.
Do you think any of the goals were preventable?
We left a lot of space on either flank. So I think just having the two guys in midfield wasn't really enough. We needed someone covering the back four and someone almost patrolling and someone commanding the defence a little bit more. Someone, you know, pull over to the right, get that guy on the left. There wasn't enough movement from our players. And as Lee mentioned, their two wingers were just in loads of space a lot of the time. Yeah. So I think a bit more organisation on the pitch would have helped.
It was, as we've already alluded to, a dead rubber though, so I suppose to be expected. But it was still a great few days out there. Really, really love Munich. And looking forward to our next German away day. Time now to talk about the fabulous victory yesterday or Sunday, whenever you're listening to this. It was a proper smash and grab. It was a proper get out of jail game, I thought. We were under the cosh. Our passing was dreadful. I think Jermaine Genus hit the nail on the head with his analysis of our sort of midfielders and their passing. And I've mentioned it in previous weeks how under pressure Sanchez feels on the ball in comparison to the other defenders, but yet we keep on giving him the ball because it's an easy option. But that shouldn't be the easy option, because what does he do? He puts other players in trouble. He will give it to Aurier when Aurier has a man on him, and he will probably lose the ball, and he'll do the same. He just wants to get rid of it because he's so scared. It's like a hot potato. It's like, it's mental, but Dier and Sissoko this time was sticking to this same remit of just basically laying it back. And even when he had time to turn, which Winks obviously does very well, which Ondombele does very well, that's what we need. We need one of those players to do that. If you have Dier and Sissoko and they're in that kind of mindset, we're just going to lose possession. And it happened time and time again. And they were just passing it really well. They were a good, solid team. They're passing it really well. And then they were just feeding Traore, who had Vertonghen on toast. And then when Vertonghen took him out, then Toby took him out, and then Dier took him out, and then Kane took him out. It was unbelievable. I couldn't believe that we were taking it in turns to basically get a booking to take out Traore. I did feel bad. And they were calling us cheats and all sorts. And I mean, it's part of the game, but it was, especially the Dier one. The Dier one was like a real, like, take one for the team. But then the other ones were hacks as well. I mean, Kane was getting a lot of stick the whole game. It was a real, real battle. And obviously, the weather didn't help. It was pouring with rain, as I mentioned earlier. Like, it got really, really torrential. But positives for the game: Moura scored a great goal, great finish, really, really good finish. And then, as Lee said, obviously Eriksen comes on to take a free kick, decent free kick, gets headed out. And then he takes a corner, which, I mean, half of the stand, I think, were in shock the fact it didn't hit the first man. But in fact, it then actually reaches Vertonghen, who has managed to creep on late into the box. Traore was maybe picking him up, or they don't really know because I think they're dizonal, but they didn't realise that he was there. And then we managed to completely benefit from him. It didn't look like it was a powerful enough header to go in the goal from where we were, but it found the corner, and pure bedlam was in the stands. It was limbs everywhere, it was phones flying, it was just one of those mad moments, because they were completely all over us. Gazzaniga did make a very, very good save, and they had a couple of good chances, but it was just a crazy game to be at. So Kofi, to start with you, who was your man of the match in terms of who do you think might have? Firstly, before you answer that, I thought Son was really disappointing, which was really frustrating for me, because not only is obviously he's one of my favourite players, he was also in my fantasy league team, and I didn't have De Bruyne or Sterling, so it was a long ride home when I heard them two score those goals. And I was sat there with a 2-point Son on my team. Anyway, so it's just not about me or my fantasy league team. Congratulations to the players that are above me in the league, which is about 50 of you now in the Thing I Love Most Show Fantasy League. So what were your thoughts on the game, Kofi?
Absolute daylight robbery, wasn't it? It was incredible. Once it was 1-1, the amount of pressure they had, I thought, you know, we'll be fortunate to get away with the point. But it was fantastic in the end. And for me, not just because of the goal, but for our man of the match, because plenty of men in old gold that could have been man of the match. I think our man of the match was Vertonghen. I think, yeah, a little bit wily the way he came on and hung back and went in to call for the cross for the header. But, you know, as I was saying earlier, it's about organisation on the pitch. He's great. You see him pointing. You see him pulling people across. You see him, you know, commanding that defence and organising it. Even when he's at left back, he can do that as if he's still in the centre back position. And the number of times we had bodies in the box defending and lunging in and getting in front of the ball, I think that's very much down to the way that he organises his defence. So, super Jan Vertonghen for me.
I think that's a good point. And I think, obviously, you know, you do look at that game and we made them look better or more in command than they were with our lack of passing and with our lack of cohesiveness in the centre of the park. So I get that. However, they are still a very good footballing side. And Gazzaniga made one really good save from the header from Sice. But apart from that, there wasn't that many real clear-cut chances that they did have. So I think testament has to go to our other defences, all of our defenders, I think, Tim, no?
Yeah, I agree. I obviously they had the better of the play. They were quick. They passed the ball well. They moved upfield on us, I think, very efficiently. But like you said, the end product wasn't there. And Gazzaniga made a couple good saves that helped us out, obviously. But again, it was more of their danger came between the boxes. And if that's where a team is going to be dangerous, I'm fine with that. But when they don't have an end product, that's fine. Then it's what we call here in the States. We call that eyewash, because it looks good, but what's it actually doing? Not a whole lot. So you can use that eyewash. But in terms of the goal, this is what I wrote. I was actually messaging with a couple of friends after Eriksen went on. And I said that the Eriksen substitution was probably 20 minutes too late. But after that, I wrote in a message, I said, and now we get an Eriksen corner. Prepare for the worst. Because as Noel said, it always goes to the first man. And then, of course, you know, 30 seconds later, I wrote, or something maybe a little bit better than the worst. So, who wasn't shocked that we scored a goal on an Eriksen corner kick? I was stunned. And like you said, it wasn't a powerful header, but it was a very well-placed header. And I don't know how it was over in the UK, but I was screaming at my television set because as soon as Eriksen scored, the camera went in another direction. And I'm waiting for Eriksen to do the whole Super Jan thing, and I'm like, I never got to see it. So I was that was the only disappointing part of the goal, because as soon as he scored, I jumped off of my couch and I was screaming like a lunatic because I knew we had just gotten 3 points that we really didn't deserve. But I'm fine with that because Wolves already have 9 draws this year. They didn't need a 10th from us. No. So 3 points, no, thank you very much. And I get to tell my Chelsea fan friends all week how we're going to be in fourth place by this time next week.
It's looking like that might happen, but yeah, you never know.
Positive result.
You never know. Moving back on the Eriksen subject, from Munich, when Eriksen did come on and when Eriksen did come over to take that corner, there was nothing like that at all. There was encouragement. There was yudos. There was much more positivity surrounding him. And at the end of the game, he came over and he gave one of our fans a shirt as well. So, you know, it's good vibes, but, you know, not everyone obviously feels that way. But that definitely was class. And he did manage to get over the... I mean, this is not even a joke, Lee. I know for a fact you sat at home when he came over to take that corner. And I guarantee you put your head in your hands. You were already feeling ill. I bet you felt more ill. And then when we scored... I reckon your mind must have just been like a contradiction of everything. I reckon you just must have been, you must not knowing what to do. Like, cheer, punch yourself in the face. Like, you know, what were you doing? How did it feel?
I was starting to think I took too many paracetamol. It's like, better be two every few hours. I thought I'd done the old packet in one go. No, listen, like we say, I criticise and I give him a lot of stick. However, I think that's probably due to the fact that the man can play football. You know, he can play football. Let's have it right. He can play, he bosses it for his country. He runs it when he's playing for Denmark on the international stage. And something's gone wrong at Spurs, and it ain't happening for him anymore. And it looks like, you know, it looks like we've got this beautiful motor in the garage, and we're just trying to roll it out and get it restarted, and it just not ticking over properly. And you know, it's frustrating, probably more than anything. And the whole dead ball thing just frustrates me anyway, because you know, with a player of his ability, you shouldn't be hitting the first man anyway. You just shouldn't. You know, at most levels of the game. But listen, we'll take that, and I'll take that. And yeah, you know, it was good to see him smiling. And there was you know, where Tim's on about one camera angle waiting for Jan to rip open the old Superman. I was waiting for the camera angle where the 6 yids jumped off him. I was waiting for Ericsson and Jan to hug it out, you know, because I don't know whose missus was, you know. Like, but listen, you know, just toilet talk, innit? All of that crap. So, listen, there was...
You don't know.
Well, listen, we showed a way to play that we've not done in the past, and that was pleasing for me. We robbed them. You know, yeah, they had a lot of the ball. Clear-cut chances, not so many. But they caused us problems in our final third. But we dealt with it to a certain point, and that showed a different side of our game. That showed a side of our game that I don't think we had 2 months ago. I think we would have let in two or three
It did feel that was probably a game that we would have lost previously. I was a bit disappointed in Aurier. He didn't really get forward enough or like he has been doing in previous games. Obviously, they play with sort of like quite a lot of wing-backs going forward.
We spoke about that. And I thought if any game was going to be made for him, it would have been that game, because I know Traore was going to go down that side. And I think we mentioned I probably would have gone with Danny Rose for that game. But then Danny Rose doesn't go up and score a last-minute winner, you know. But then does Traore get away and hit that screamer into the net, you know? So it's all horses, yeah. Horse and ifs and buts. But it looks like Jose's made up his mind. It looks like he's going to go with Jan as left back, and that's what it's going to be. But I think
David is still injured.
Yeah, and he's gone to Qatar. Is that correct? He's gone to Qatar for an operation or for some treatment. So it looks like it could be a good few more months, but it looks like he's going to persist with this one. It looks like he's going to persist with it. And listen, I've got no qualms with it. I think the guys in the middle could do a little bit better at times, but there's been improvements with not so much training, and I think Jose's alluded to that as well. Excuse me, he's mentioned that. They haven't had much time on the training ground to work on what he actually wants to implement as such. So the fact that we're 4 from 5, 4 wins in our last 5 league games alone shows you kind of what mentality he's installing, what he's asking, and just a little bit of stability. And that's why I think it's important that even with Dyer and, you know, and Aurier, who I just lose my mind with, if they're playing every week and Jose's sticking with them every week, we've almost got a stable team. And I think that's probably gone some way to getting a steady flow of results as well a little bit. And we might just have to suck that up, you know, until January window comes or whatever it is when he looks to make those changes. I think we're just going to have to suck that up and hope those boys can get a little bit sharper and a little bit fitter.
And we got our predictions right. We all went for 2-1. I mean, you did add a goal on the end. You went for 3-1. But yeah, we got I talked you out of it, and we got there in the end. So yeah, good predictions. And in terms of training, obviously they've got now a week to the Chelsea game. So fingers crossed that's some good solid time on the pitch to really implement some of his methods. So it's the Champions League draw this morning, the knockout stages, which is always good fun. And it didn't disappoint, actually. There's some absolute crackers in that draw. And it looks like on paper, well, I don't know about on paper because they are in first place in the German league. But we've probably got one of the best draws we could have hoped for. Valencia probably would have been the easiest, but in terms of the stature of the teams, I think Leipzig are definitely beatable. And in terms of the fact it was down to potentially them or Barcelona at the end, we definitely got off lightly. And then if you look at the other teams that have, like, you know, Atletico Madrid have got to play Liverpool, Real Madrid have got to play Man City, and obviously Bayern Munich, who we played, are playing Chelsea. So I think in general, we probably got the easiest tie, even though, as I said, they are top of the league. Are you confident now, guys, that we're going to get a result over there? We've already looked at flights and stuff. We're going via Dresden or Berlin or somewhere where we're going. So it's gonna be another fun away day. So yeah, Tim, are you confident we're gonna make it through? And are we gonna be the only English team to do so?
I think it's entirely possible on both fronts. I mean, for me, Leipzig was clearly one of the teams that we were hoping to get. I mean, who wants to play Barcelona if you can avoid it? Like you said, they are in first place. They're a good side. But if you'd ask any Tottenham fan before the draw, who would you like? If these are your choices, who would you like? Guaranteed, Leipzig is one of the two teams that are mentioned where, hey, we'd be thrilled with that. And besides, their manager is an American, and we all know they don't know anything about the game.
Oh, fun times. Kofi, you up for a little away day?
Yeah, hey, no. Should be good.
Fluent now after Munich, aren't you?
Absolutely. Yeah, you know, there are some big names in the last 16, and we look to have avoided the big names. From what I've sort of been reading today, Leipzig like to play a press and are quite intense and want to chase teams down. And I think that works for us because, you know, that allows us to counterattack. If they're pushing on to us, you know, we'd love to be able to play a couple of passes and then start running at them. So it feels like a really good draw. Yeah, looking forward to it.
Happy days. Well, yeah, hopefully it's gonna be fun all round. So obviously, it's time to preview our next match, which is an absolute cracker on Sunday. It's Chelsea at home. We are in the position to overtake them in the league because we have slightly better goal difference and we are now 3 points behind. They are definitely starting to falter. I thought they were going to falter when Tammy Abraham was injured because he seems to be their main source of goals, but he was playing on Saturday and they did still struggle. They're struggling against teams who aren't even playing particularly well, and also teams that we've beaten recently in terms of West Ham and Bournemouth have both beaten them 1-0 at home. So are we stupidly going to be confident going into this game, Lee, or should we obviously be realistic and remember that, you know, this is Chelsea and you know, we are Tottenham.
Let's all just be stupidly confident. Why not?
Brilliant. It's 3-0.
No, not that. Well, actually, why not?
We all know 3-0 turns into 3-2.
Yeah. I think if we can't be confident going into this one, then, you know, we never are. I think if you look at their last. I think if you look at the last five games in the league, I think our record's up there with Liverpool and Leicester at the moment in terms of wins. And if you look at Chelsea's, I think it's one win in their last five league matches. So they're definitely not on a good run.
It's four losses in those five league matches, though.
Losses. Yeah. And there's a lot to be said. You know, they're the flying star, and I think Lampard's done a good job with what he's got. But there's a lot to be said about relying on the kids as such and that sort of inexperience. I think defensively, when I look at us defensively, I know we can see goals, but I think in terms of the maturity and the experience of the players we have at the back, I think we should be clever enough to, you know, to nullify their attacks a little bit. And in terms of going forward, I fancy us against most teams to put the ball in the back of the net at the moment. Just the way we're releasing the front four. So yeah, I'm confident going into this one.
If you look at their team, I would say Kante, Abraham, quality, and then the rest of them, I'm not going crazy about, to be honest. And you know, going forward, like they really struggled against Bournemouth. But then you look at our attack, and we've got, you know, if Moura is banging him in like he was, then we've got four players who are pretty much in form and are a goal threat. And, you know, as we were walking to Molineux the other day, there was Wolves fans behind us, and they were talking about the threat of Son and Ali and Kane and Moura. And they were like, you know, they were worried. And it was just like, it was weird to hear it from that perspective, because you don't necessarily think about it like that. But it's absolutely true, you know. Obviously, you know, Liverpool have got Salah, Mane, and Firmino. You know, the other teams, obviously, you know, Man City have got a plethora of talent. But to have those four attackers, if they are on form and scoring, and having a license to go forward, that's pretty special. And at home, against a big team, they've got to be up for it. So I am also confident that we're gonna turn them over and get that fourth place. And then you look ahead, Brighton, Norwich, Southampton, you know, those are three very, very winnable games, yeah. which could put us in a really, really good spot before we have the bin dippers in town on the 11th. So you like that, Kofi, because that's where you live. Let's go for predictions then. Tim, what are we thinking for Chelsea on Sunday, and what kind of game do you think we're going to get, firstly?
Chelsea defense does not worry me. I think we'll be able to score on them. Our defense, I think, is probably going to worry me the rest of the season. But I don't. I mean, their form. Chelsea, they started poorly. They recovered from that, and they were playing very well, actually. And then now they're playing. They're just playing poorly again. I mean, like you said, four losses in the last five games is obviously not a good way to be. I think we win. I'm going to go 3-1. I think being at home. I think we're in a good way. We're the Wolves match showed that we're winning ugly, or we're capable of winning ugly, and it's you know, the offense, I think, is really what is going to drive this team, even though that's not Mourinho's pedigree or his reputation. But I'm hoping anyway that he's smart enough to say, this is what we have, and I'm not going to try to make these drastic changes to style. We have a very capable and deadly offense. Let's go with it and let's ride it. And fine, if we give up a few goals, then we give up a few goals. But this is how it's going to be. So I'm going to say 3-1.
Do you think we're ever going to get a clean sheet at the moment, Kofi? Do you think? I'm tempted to say 2-0.
See, I'm feeling a 2-0. I really think that can happen. I think the Man United game just needs to be a lesson for us. And that is that we're playing a team that Mourinho used to manage. We're also playing a team where their managers come out and said, I'd never do that. I'd never go there. He'll be winding them up. You know, it's Chelsea v Tottenham. You know, while, as you say, some of their players might be average, Frank Lampard will have wound them up for the game. So we need to be ready and go at them. We can't sort of not play for the first 20 minutes. And I think if we go out there with the right attitude, yeah, we've got the boys who can score goals. And something I like about Mourinho at the moment is he's letting those four play, which, as you say, Tim, is not what you'd expect. But he hasn't changed what we do too much. He's given a bit of encouragement, a bit of inspiration to a few guys, organise the defence a little bit, but we are still playing forwards, and you know, we're attacking when we can. So
he seems to be giving him a little more freedom. It seems it's almost like he's telling him, like, go up and do what you do, and I want to see you attack. As opposed to, yeah, exactly. He's I mean, he moved him up the pitch, and it seems like he's told him, all right, I don't know what the defensive responsibilities you had with Pochettino. It's almost like he said, I don't want you to worry as much about them. I want you to create, do what you do, and make goals for us. And he's responded to that. He's played very well. So, and by the way, I just want to mention, the only reason I said 3-1 is because I'm predicting a goal for the American, Pulisic.
Okay. God.
I'll shut up now.
What a load of eyewash. Okay, so Lee, what are we going for a prediction?
Yeah. You've told me. I'd like a 2-0, but no, I'm with Tim on this one. I'm going for 3-1, and I'm going for Delhi to go and get his usual goal against them lot down the road.
It's got to happen, hasn't it? It's got to happen. He definitely gets up for these games, and. Yeah, it's going to be quality. Can't wait. Absolutely, really, really excited for this. Okay, guys, absolute pleasure to have you on board once again. Thank you, Tim, Kofi and Lee. Once again, we are the Thing I Love Most show. We're on all the social media channels, TTLM Show, YouTube, Facebook, Instagram. And come and join us if you do want to come and get involved in the show. We'd love to have you on board. So get in touch with the show. We will be seeing you again next week, hearing you again, listening to you. No, you're listening to us. That's the one. But have a good week, everybody. And we will see you once again next week. All the best.